There's news that some NHS workers are sending their children to live with relatives in an attempt to protect their loved ones from COVID-19. Staff caring for patients on the front line are fearful of catching the disease themselves and potentially passing the infection on to their families. A report says the situation has been likened to kids being evacuated from big cities during the Second World War. Well, joining me now for more on that is Liam Barnes, who is founder and trustee chair at the Laura Hyde Foundation, which provides mental health support for medical and emergency services. Liam, appreciate your time this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
What this news does then clearly is highlight starkly, doesn't it, the harsh reality facing many frontline emergency workers in the current crisis.
Absolutely. I think the problem of mental health for our frontline emergency services has been a problem for a while, which is why our organisation was established. However, it's fair to say COVID-19 has accelerated and exasperated a number of different individuals with their mental health. So we're seeing a 60% rise in support queries at the moment, but concerningly an 88% increase in what we would class as acute support requests, which effectively mean that direct support is needed and signposting to additional partners for intervention methods are also required.
Well, tell us then a little bit more about your foundation. I mean, give us a sense of the kinds of calls your organisation's getting just now. What are health workers most worried about, particularly when it comes to their children?
I think it all comes down to the fear of being able to pass the infection onto their loved ones. The distancing measures that the government have introduced are there for a reason. Our frontline emergency services know this better than anyone else if that's not adhered to. But a lot of our emergency service workers don't have the luxury of being able to completely isolate away from their family. So there are fears that they are passing that on to loved ones, as I said. There are fear of making even more significant life and death decisions because of the volume of people coming into the emergency services. And there's also just the increased level of trauma and lack of work-life balance by increased hours that is all contributing to a vicious cycle of mental health.
And it is interesting, isn't it, that the scenes we are witnessing, going on from what you are saying, do evoke those memories of wartime evacuations for anyone who's old enough.
Absolutely. And it's incredibly common at the moment that staff are isolating themselves completely away from family. So we're seeing three different types of techniques. One is the complete removal of the family from the family home and sending them to loved ones, grandparents, friends and so forth, just so that they are protected away and de-risked. We're also seeing a very increasing level of people staying in temporary accommodation, whether that's been via generous donations, via hotel chains, to really limit the amount of change for the children away from the family home. So they are sitting in hotels, literally living, breathing and eating work constantly. But as we can, I'm sure we can all appreciate, not everyone has luxuries to an extensive support network around them. So single parents or families that can't move away are doing what we call social distancing within the household. So use of separate bedrooms, use of separate bathrooms, and really just trying to do the best that they absolutely can within limited circumstances.
Also wanted to talk to you about the child's perspective especially. I mean, not easy either for them. We know about mum and dad and the hard decisions they're perhaps having to take. But for the child, you know, may not really understand what on earth is going on, why they have to be away from mum or dad, say.
Absolutely. It's a very unprecedented situation. And I think the general public and everybody else involved in it is still trying to work it out. But it's incredibly complex for a child to really understand why they can't speak to their mum or dad. And probably most heartbreaking of all, we're seeing so many stories of anxiety building up where the child is crying and mum and dad can't give them a hug to reassure them, but simply because of the risk of the situation of infection.
Totally, totally understandable. And just finally, fair to say, too, that it won't necessarily be that easy to recover from these lockdown restrictions once they are eventually lifted for many people, you know, for us to get out, perhaps, of what's been a whole different way of behaving that we've had to adapt to really quickly.
Absolutely. And I think it's really, really important to note that a lot of our frontline emergency services are just in the work moment at the moment. They're dealing with it and getting through the working day. We get to see the real, what I would call, peak of post-traumatic stress or anxiety. This will happen and manifest after the restrictions have been lifted. And that's where organisations such as ourselves and our partners are going to be very, very key to ensuring that they are supported with a fit-for-purpose mental health support service.
We thank you for your time this morning. Thank you very much indeed. Really interesting, actually. Liam Barnes there, founder and trustee chair at the Laura Hyde Foundation. Now, that provides mental health support for medical and emergency services in particular. I really appreciate your time this morning.